From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Mike Pesca. The gestation period was 8 months, and now it's finally here. The report of the 10-member bipartisan panel known as the Iraq Study Group.
By the way, you can find the full report at our website, npr.org. The panel makes 79 recommendations, but this morning, panel co-chair James Baker had this to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no magic formula that will solve the problems of Iraq.
We now turn to NPR's Guy Raz in Washington for a closer look at the substance of the Iraq Study Group's report. First off, Guy, this tome just came out. You've been, speed reading, trying to digest the press conference at the same time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely speed reading it. But there was an executive summary that was released to journalists a couple hours ago. But basically, they laid it out in their remarks in the last hour.
And what's the headline?
Well, I think the headline is basically that the United States should withdraw, should begin withdrawing its combat forces from Iraq with the idea that most of them will be out by 2008. And that is essentially the crux of this report. They're saying that after that time, the U.S. should leave about 10 to 20,000 troops behind, mostly military advisors. And what they're saying is that the United States military needs to expedite training of Iraqi forces with the idea that within about a year, the Iraqi forces would become the major sort of fighting combat force in Iraq and not U.S. forces.
In the portions of the report that were leaked beforehand, the main point was one thing that you did say, which was troop drawdown. But these leaked portions also seem to emphasize that there would be no timetable. But you just referenced 2008. So is that a timetable?
It's a timetable. There's no question about it. I don't think you can hide the fact or parse it. I mean, that is what it is. And it's very clear that the Iraq Study Group, chaired by James Baker and Lee Hamilton, were essentially, I think, reflecting now what is clearly the will of most of the American public.
In terms of tone and style, and I don't know how informative this is, but what does the report read like? I came across several simple declarative sentences. I was thinking maybe it's something like what the president gets on his desk in the daily security brief. What did it read like to you?
I thought it was very dramatic, actually. I mean, the announcement that they made was dramatic. I'll say it a third time, dramatic. Because you have this guy, James Baker, the man who's basically responsible for the 2000 election victory of President Bush, and he's now telling him in no uncertain terms, your Iraq policy has been a failure, and you've got to move 180 degrees, you know, in the other direction. So there really is a sense of urgency in the language of the report. But there's also a sense that, you know, if these recommendations are carried out, it's basically the best hope that the White House and the Congress has for trying to fix the problems in Iraq. Now, all that being said, Mike, the White House doesn't have to follow these recommendations. That's what it is. It's not binding. It's not a piece of legislation. So the president can just toss it out in the garbage if he wants to.
Now, I know that the report does recommend and advocate for more diplomacy, but that could be a vague recommendation. Hey, guys, get to a table and talk. Or it could be pretty specific. How specific does the report get?
Oh, very specific. In fact, so specific I can name two countries, Iran and Syria. And that's going to be the most controversial part of this report because what it suggests is, in a word, the United States has to talk to these people, to the leaders of these countries. They have to engage these countries because both Iran and Syria have a lot of influence in Iraq, both in terms of terrorism, in terms of the sectarian violence there, over the political situation. So the idea would be to sound these countries out. And what was really interesting about the report was that when it came to Iran, there's no mention of the nuclear issue, essentially suggesting that this is not going to be part of the discussion with Iran over Iraq.
And finally, Guy, the press conference that was held, I know you were listening with one ear. Did it fill us in on anything the report left muddy?
It didn't fill us in on anything the report left muddy. In fact, James Baker often was saying, you know, I refer you back to the report. It was pretty comprehensive.
And we should also note that there seemed to be a good amount of, let's say, bonhomie between the members of the panel. They seem to at least have gotten along.
Oh, yeah, and there was a lot of talk about bipartisanship and bipartisanship and bipartisanship, and Baker liked to remind everybody watching and listening that that's what this was all about, really.
NPR's Guy Raz. Thanks a lot, Guy.
Thank you.